Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Hallelujah. How you doing, 5 p.m. service? You guys look pretty good. Looking pretty good tonight. Hey, here in just a few moments, we're going to do a baptismal portion of the service, and it's going to be really awesome. I want to ask that when we do this, that each and every one of you celebrate every time someone gets dunked tonight and comes up. I mean, celebrate with us corporately the goodness of God, that lives are being transformed. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. If you guys can just kind of hang tight, because you're going to be up here all night. So just don't go anywhere, because I'm not going to be real long. Couple quick things. Number one, Pastor Jason Townsend from the Summit Crestview is with us. He spoke this morning at our 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m., had two blowout services. I want to encourage you, go back and watch the listen to the podcast, watch the service if you missed. He's our missions director for our entire Summit Global Movement, and just love him and his wife, Pastor Misty, and their family. We don't do ministry, we do family, and we don't really have people in to preach, per se, that we don't walk with. We walk with each other, and we're just so thankful that he's just as much a part of this house as any of our other leader here, and so or person in this room, for that matter. And so just thankful, but I want to encourage you, go back and rewatch that. Also, the month of January, I said this in both of our morning services, is a very, very important month to us here at the Summit. It's a month that we sow as a church body to the Lord. And we consecrate this month and sow the whole month as a seed. And we believe as we sow this seed that it causes just a blessing on the rest of the year. How many of you believe in seed time and harvest? When you sow something, you're going to reap something. And, you know, New Year, a lot of people make great New Year's resolutions, like, I'm going to start eating right, I'm going to quit cussing, I'm going to stop watching a bunch of Netflix, you know. And everybody's in different places in their journey, and hopefully you fulfilled the you know, anyways. But my point is, a lot of times we make New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times you'll find, like, especially, like, with a workout plan or you know, a lot of times it's self-discipline, which is good. We need discipline. I'm a man of discipline. However, when you sow something to the Lord and you consecrate it unto the Lord, it's a little bit different than just your own discipline. It comes with grace that touches that, and God enables you to be able to do what you couldn't do on your own that surpasses discipline. It's called supernatural. And the month of January, we're doing that. It's going to be a month that we sow, and we're believing for supernatural, just breakthrough all year long. And how we do this, how it looks, is we do this every year. Every night of the week in the month of January, we have 2 hours allotted right here in the sanctuary with live worship and prayer. It's not a service, it's a prayer meeting. And for the whole month of January, we do this, and we sow our time to the Lord in prayer. I mean, it's cold in January, right? So what else are you going to do? Like, are you going to stay at home and eat Cheetos and watch Netflix? No. You're going to be in the house of the Lord, sowing your month so that your year can have tremendous breakthrough. Because the scripture teaches the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous. Do what? Availeth much. And so that's what's going to happen. Also, we have a conference in January. You heard about it on the announcement, but I want to give a little add to it, because this is not just a conference for the sake of having conference. We do this in January because it's all tied together. We call it our start gathering for a reason, because we believe prophetically it starts things off right. I'm a firm believer in this. Things never go wrong. They start wrong. Things that you may think have gone wrong that have started right, usually they don't go wrong. That's a part of the plan of God on the process to show his goodness. Things never go wrong. They start wrong. But when we start things wrong, they can never play out right. And so as we start our year off right by this gathering, we're going to be hearing from prophetic voices, friends of the house, But more importantly than that, the family of God in this city gets to come together. We lift up a sound to Jesus for 5 days. This year, we felt like the Lord was saying to us, sow 5 nights to believe God for revival in this city. So every night, 5 nights, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And I know by Sunday, by the third service, everybody is going to be just dog tired, but it's okay. Your spirit will absolutely be 100% alive. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a powerful time. You need to register for that. Last year, we had about 1,300 register. This year, we're believing for 1,600, and it's going to be an evangel. The only reason why we have a cost on this is just to take care of the facility and our speakers. We've calculated it down that at $5 a night per person, which is cheaper than a venti Starbucks drink, that we can meet our budget for this. And so we're asking that, you know, let me just say this. Let me say this to you before this will be my end of my rant on this. Let me say this. People for this conference will be flying in from all over the world. There's people from Brazil that's already bought tickets, people from the USA that's already bought tickets. I've heard from people from British Columbia, Saskatchewan, all over Edmonton. And this is, as your pastor, if this is your home church, it will really, really, really grieve me that people will recognize the value of this and fly in and make sacrifice from all over the world. But if there's people in here that just kind of treat it like, meh, meh, maybe, I might go. If I can squeeze it in, meh. Like, I don't be that person. Don't be that person. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Like, be the person that says, you know what? It is a joy to be a part of a movement that we get to host, not just the city, but the province and Western Canada, and people coming in from all over the states and South America to get touched by the Lord. They're coming from a long way to believe God for healing, for breakthrough. And don't let what you're in all the time just be casual. You know what I mean? That makes sense? Okay, so what you're going to do after this service, or even right now, you're going to go on the website, and you're going to register right now because it's super cheap. And if you cannot afford it, I will personally pay your way. I'm serious. It's how much I want you. I will personally pay the way of someone that cannot afford it up to a certain amount. So the church will have to take care of everything after that, you know. I have to talk to my wife what that amount is. All of a sudden, we have 250 people that are watching online, texting the office. Pastor Chris is going to pay. The church will take care of it too. Yeah, like seriously, we'll make sure you get in, but just make sure you register. Awesome, man. How about this Kanye stuff, man? Huh? Like seriously, man. You know, I was preaching in California. I was talking to two friends of mine that I've been friends with for a lot of years. We were talking about Kanye West and everything this dude is doing for Jesus right now. Like, if you haven't heard, brother got radically saved and delivered. And every Sunday, and if you don't know who Kanye West is, because I know there's probably some people that don't, he's married to Kim Kardashian. Enough said, right? Enough said. He's a hip hop artist that, man, you listened to this guy just a couple years ago and dude was out of his mind. Like he was saying weird things like I am God and things like that. But the radical influence that this man has in the world, on the world scene, between him and his wife, there are literally people that believe they're two of the most influential people on the planet. And this man just recently got radically saved, radically delivered. And it's funny because I was in the States, I was preaching in California, and there's so many people that are questioning the legitimacy of this, especially in the States where he resides and in a lot of the church movement. And I started listening. Like, I bought his album. I listened to it first, and I was so moved. I bought his album, and I started checking this thing out. I wanted to hear what this man's saying, and listening to him talk about Jesus and watching his services. And every single Sunday, he's going to a new spot and basically bringing about a 250-person choir and setting up shop and just having mobile church. And I'm telling you, it is breaking the religious traditional system. And it's not, this is a new era and new wave of what we're getting ready to see in the earth. But I want to tell, this is for real, man. Like, this is for real. Micaiah and I sat and watched one of his services the other day in my basement, and the anointing of the Spirit was so present. I sat there and wept for about 30 minutes with her in my lap, just watching, of just being so moved. I'm not a hip-hop guy. I really could care less for hip-hop, but I recognize the anointing. It's one thing I'm very familiar with, and the lyrics was like just so moving, mixed with gospel sound and the choir and just the passion. And so, and I could sense the anointing flowing through this man. And I just want to say this. I was thinking about this while I was in California, how the church for years has been praying for Hollywood. And now all of a sudden people in Hollywood start getting saved and we're like, well, I don't really know about that. I just don't really know, you know? I don't know if that can really happen. Like, and one of the things I was thinking about is how more than ever in the church, we need the spirit of Barnabas. We need the spirit of Barnabas in the house of God. If you're not familiar who Barnabas is, you read about him in the book of Acts. His name actually was not Barnabas. The apostles and the church renamed this man, which was common in that day. They would rename you. Basically, they would give you a name that identified your grace and gift. And they renamed this man Barnabas because Barnabas means son of encouragement. And this guy was a guy that would walk around and he always had an encouraging word. No matter what the situation looked like, he saw the gold in everyone. And when the world was negative Nancy, right? Just negative about Barnabas would show up and be like, well, you know, let me just give you this perspective. God's moving and it's going to be okay, right? Like Barnabas was the one that would show up and no matter what, always having an encouraging word. Kind of reminds me of TJ Green. But honestly, we need the spirit of Barnabas in the house of God because there's so much skepticism. There's so much like, well, I don't really know about that. And we watch things on YouTube that like we hear people say and we say, well, I don't know about that person and the validity of their ministry because I heard them say this. And be careful what you listen to on YouTube, especially if it's a 15-second clip, because anybody can take a 15-second clip and make whatever they want out of it and make them look like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, really hear the heart of the Lord and be an encourager. You know, Barnabas was the one that when Saul, in the book of Acts, had a radical salvation, he was murdering Christians. This was his full-time job in Syria. And he's murdering Christians. Sounds like a little bit of modern-day ISIS, if you ask me. In Syria, and he's murdering Christians and anyone that didn't believe the same way he believed. And his full-time role was to murder them and to facilitate their execution by stoning and maybe chopping off heads, who knows? But you imagine this evening someone from like literal ISIS getting born again, like literal ISIS, and showing up to church next Sunday morning. How many of us in the room would be sitting there kind of like, well, honey, watch the kids, because I just really don't know right now. I mean, I know he's worshiping, and I know he's crying, and I know he's on his face, but I'm going to need about 10 years for him to prove to me. I need to see his tithing record. I need to check his phone. We need to really make sure and calculate, right? and that would probably be most of our mentality to for a guy or a girl, for somebody from an extreme jihad background getting saved. But friend, you got to understand, this was Paul, the man that wrote the majority of the New Testament. And when he gets radically saved in the book of Acts through an encounter with the Lord knocks him off his horse, blinds him for a few days, has this radical revelation and encounter. God opens his eyes, and the church is absolutely skeptical about this man. Like Peter and Philip and Thomas and everybody in the Bible, they're like, I just don't know. And had it not been for Barnabas to say, guys, this is legit. Like, this is what Jesus does, and this is our message. He transforms people. And if you can't believe that, you can't believe the gospel. Because the gospel at the root, at the core, is a gospel of transformation. And I'm tired of the religious spirit that when we see somebody come in that used to be a former porn addict or a former addict on from drugs or alcohol or a former whatever comes in the house of God, gets touched, we want to put this whole structure around them and say, well, you're going to have to prove to me. They don't have to prove to you anything. Sure, before they get up and teach, I get all that, but newborn Christians, they don't hold the standard of theology. Like, that's not what they're, but we should celebrate those that are being born again, no matter what walk of life or background. And had there not been a Barnabas, there would have never been a Paul. Because Barnabas had to go down to Peter and say, Peter, I know you're skeptical, but the dude is legit. And I'm here to vouch for him. And I don't care if it ruins my reputation with the church. I'm going to stand for the transformed life. I remember years ago, man, I took a lot of heat. I took a lot of heat one time. There was a young man that I kind of casually knew, but I knew this man had been transformed, him and his wife. And they were working for a ministry. And he was, he had seen his leader texting another woman that was not his wife. Supposedly, this is an allegation that inappropriate text, basically. And he confronted his leader about it, and the leader, it kind of got into this dispute, this match of he said, she said, but the guy that saw it wasn't really trying to fight. But the pastor, man, he reared up and gave the guy a boot out of the church and all this big deal. And I felt like the Lord told me, rescue this kid. Because this pastor was trying to ruin his name in the ministry. Like, he was really trying to, like, illegitimize him in the sphere that we were moving in and like, calling all these people saying, don't. And I felt like the Lord say, rescue him, because he actually had the right heart in the matter. And I was friends with the pastor. I knew him very well. I'd preached in his church a couple times. And so I took this guy in and his wife in, and I told Nikki, I said, you know, I just feel like we're supposed to do this. And I know I'm going to take a lot of heat from this. How do you feel? And she felt like it was right. And, I mean, they were kicked to the curb. So we took him in. They came and lived in our home for, you know, a few months while they got on their feet, because he was working for the church. I mean, the leader fired him, and his whole ministry had basically, all because he had just biblically went to someone and asked them, hey, I saw this, and like, I just need some clarification, like, you know, and it would just blew up. The leader just, you know, kicked him out and all this stuff. And so, and I'll never forget, a major well-known apostle that is in my life as a spiritual leader called me, because he's also in a relationship with this other pastor. And he said, Chris, you know, this is not good. And I had to basically say, listen, I know everybody is saying this, but I feel like we could do major damage to this young man if we move in that spirit of exiling him out of the church. And I said, I understand I run the risk of losing all of you as my friends, but I've got to stand for what I believe is right. I got to stand for what I believe is noble and what I believe is biblical, and I've got to be an encourager here. And listen, I'm not here to point fingers and accuse either side, but I am going to move in the side of love. And we took them in and loved them, got them back on their feet, sent them back out, and they're doing great things for the Lord today. But I'm saying all this to say is that not everybody is happy when you're an encourager. It's a whole lot easier to point the finger and see the flaw in an individual's life than it is to say, you know what, I recognize there's flaws, but I'm not going to magnify those. I'm going to prophesy the gold and declare over you what Jesus says over you. Paul said it this way, I choose to know no man by the flesh. What does that mean? I'm not going to look at you and know you by your weaknesses. I'm going to call out who Jesus says you are, and I'm going to pull that. That's the only way that I'm going to know you, by the Spirit, by what the Lord says over you. And so I want us to not be like the church in the book of Acts when Peter gets locked up. You remember that? Acts chapter 12, it says, James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod with the sword. When Herod saw that it pleased all of the Jews, he went on to go after Peter, and he had Peter locked up because he was thinking, well, I mean, if they love me for killing James, boy, they're going to really love me when I kill Peter. So he locks Peter up, and Peter's in jail in Acts chapter 12, and he's sleeping one night, which is fascinating to me that the guy's going to go to the execution table the next morning, and he's sleeping. Like, that's peace. That's peace. Well, gonna die in the morning. Better get a good night's sleep because I'm about to see Jesus again face to face. I want to be rested when I meet him. He was in such a deep sleep, if you read your Bible, that an angel shows up in his prison cell and has to hit him a couple times to wake him up. Get up, Peter, get up. Like he's in that deep of a sleep. Peter wakes up, this angel's present in his jail cell, supernaturally breaks him out of the prison, and Peter goes to where a group of people are praying, and they're having this prayer meeting. You can read, this is amazing. In Acts chapter 12, it's this prayer meeting, and the whole focus for the prayer meeting is to pray for Peter to get out of prison. So like, I mean, think about this. Let's pretend for a moment. I get locked up for preaching the gospel, right? Don't just pray. Somebody come put some money down and bond me out. Like, don't just pray. I mean, their day's a little bit different. Thank you. Thank you. Like they're praying for Peter to get out of prison. God hears their prayers and he answers their prayers. And in Acts chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, it says Peter comes to the door of the house where they're praying and he knocks on the door. A young girl named Rhoda goes to the door and she hears Peter outside and said, hey, it's Peter, open up, let me in. Rhoda doesn't open the door. She just hears his voice through the door, and she gets so excited because she recognizes it's Peter's voice. She runs back into all the saints, the faithful prayer warriors, the intercessors that are in there praying, and she says, guys, you won't believe it. It's Peter. He's here. This is so like us. This is their reply to Rhoda. Ah, can't be Peter. He's in jail. There's no way God can set him free from jail. This is what they said. It must be his angel. And after they said it, here's what they did. They went back to their prayer meeting. God, deliver Peter from prison. Lord, you're faithful. God, you're the God that splits the Red Sea and moves mountains and causes them to melt like wax. If you can do it for the children of Israel, surely you can do it for Peter. But no, it can't be Peter. But God, deliver Peter. It's kind of like the church. We're praying for God to move in Hollywood, and when he shows up and the prayer's knocking at our door, we're like, no, really, I don't know. I don't think it can really be true that God can move in Hollywood. Friend, I'm here to tell you, Hollywood is about to be radically saved and transformed. And what you're about to see in the next 3 years, we are on the tipping spear of global transformation and awakening in the earth. And I'm telling you, you can stay in a religious traditional system, or you can wake up and say, you know what? As for me and my house, I want to be on the cutting edge of serving the Lord. And I don't care if they come from the church house or the crack house. If Jesus is moving in their life, they are my brother. They are my sister. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to cheer them on. I don't care what their story is. They're welcome to be in the house of God. And when the world starts persecuting and the church starts throwing arrows, I'm going to stand in the way and say, nope, I'm a Barnabas. This is for real. This is legit. This is what we've been praying for. And I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do it in Parliament. He's going to do it in Alberta. He's going to do it in Western Canada. He's going to do it in this nation, because God didn't send us all the way to this frozen, chosen group of people to just sit back and let the enemy have his way. I'm still prophesying he's going to have dominion from sea to shining sea. And this nation is blessed, and this nation, I declare, is a Christian nation, a God-fearing nation, not a Muslim nation, not a nation that has no backbone and that is weak and anemic. No, and as our prime minister tried to declare that we're a nation without identity, I say the kingdom of heaven is our nation's identity. I say it's an identity of sons and daughters, free sons and daughters of Yahweh, and there's a counterculture being birthed. It's the culture of the kingdom of heaven. It's the culture of the kingdom. And I'm telling you, Canada doesn't have a Muslim problem. Canada doesn't have a homosexuality problem. Let me tell you what the problem is in Canada. Lukewarm, dead dry religious tradition that doesn't free anyone. Come to church week after week, sing a few songs, feel better about ourselves, but nobody's getting set free. Nobody's getting saved. And I'm telling you, this house is going to be a seat of awakening. I'm telling you, we'll love them all the way that they are. But I'm telling you, when you get here, we're going to point you to Jesus. Because he's the one that transforms. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that sets the captive free. And I could feel it in the room, even when I say that, how much fear of man there is, even by me saying what I just said. Like, oh my God, I don't know if you can say that. Yes, I can. You know why? Because I am under a higher authority. Higher than the governmental authority. It's called kingdom authority. And I have to decree what the Father says decree, whether you like it or not, whether culture thinks it's popular or not. Well. I was planning on reading Mark 5, but got on something else. Who's ready to get dunked? Let me say this. Baptism is not salvation. Faith in Christ Jesus is salvation. He's the way, the truth, the life. The only way to the Father is through the Son. He's the doorway. He's the gate. How do you get to him? How do you get to the faith in his Son? Faith in Jesus. Faith that you believe he's the Son of God, sent from God, born of a virgin. lived 33 years crucified on a cross, lived a sinless life, died, was buried, and on the third day resurrected, broke the power of death, hell, and the grave. Like, come on. We believe here in raising the dead, but it's one thing for an anointed person to lay hands on you and raise you from the dead. It's a whole nother ball game when you raise yourself from the dead, friend. It's a whole nother level when you have that much control. Even on the cross of Calvary, Jesus, what looks like he's not in any control, it doesn't look like he's in control, but even to his dying breath, he's still in control. Because he says, Father, to you I commend my spirit. And even to the point of death, he's still in control. I give you my spirit. Died, buried, the third day rose. 50 days later, he ascended into heaven, told his church he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Friend, salvation is free. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's free. You can't buy it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Jesus paid for it for you, for me. So I'm saying all this because if you're getting baptized tonight, I want you to understand that your salvation is not here in this water. Your salvation is in Jesus. But the baptism is so important because what this is this is a holy reflection in the natural of what's taken place in you in the spirit. Where 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and they're gone, and behold, all things become new. See, when you give your life to Jesus, by faith, you say, Jesus, I'm taking on your life in replacement for mine. What you've done is you've died at that point to your old life. The old sinless life is dead, buried in the ground. And a resurrection takes place on the inside of you. It's the resurrection of new life. It's the new birth. It's what we call being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you cannot be born again unless you've been first born of water and spirit. That's not talking about baptism. That's talking about natural birth, water and spirit. Just because your mother gave birth to you does not make you born again, but when you get born again in spirit and in truth by receiving Jesus, the faithful Adam who recovered what the first Adam lost in the garden, you step into full relationship with the Father now. Now you have a father that you don't just call God. Now you can call him dad. It's the good news, man. It's the good news. And so what you're doing tonight is you're saying, I'm testifying in the natural that the old is gone and the new has come. The old man's washed away. The old woman is gone, washed away, buried. I'm resurrected in Christ Jesus. Now, there's people that signed up, but there's always people that are in the room that feel it in their heart, like, tonight is my night. I need to get baptized too. And if that's you, we have extra towels. It won't kill you to go home a little damp. But what a statement for your life that you could make of Jesus. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night that I'm going to drown it all. I'm going to bury the old man in that water, and I'm coming up a new creature. And I'm testifying to the church and to the world that my life belongs to Jesus. My life belongs to him. If you're getting baptized tonight, I want you to make a line right here. Just come on around and make a line right here. Right over here. This way, right here, and we'll wrap it around. You guys go ahead. And now, this is what I want everybody else to do. If you're not, and I want you to just help worship with us, celebrate with us, man, rejoice. This is a moment where God in heaven is smiling down and rejoicing. Amen? I need Pastor Cy, Pastor Jason, Pastor TJ. You guys get up here and help me baptize some people. Get in the line. Get in the line.